grateful to the God of heaven blessing us all week long with the opportunity to get to know the congregation here, to fellowship one with the other. Appreciate Brother and Sister Rose for the kindness, the hospitality, taking us out to eat this afternoon. We had a great fellowship one with the other. Appreciate Brother Rose and his commitment to the gospel, his being able to encourage preachers and be a light, a source of strength for the congregation here. Appreciate Brother Kevin and Sister Tammy for the kindness, the fellowship, and the hospitality they have shown all week long. We're just grateful and thankful to God for the congregation here that meets at the Lincoln Church of Christ, and for your commitment to the Lord and all that you do and all that you have demonstrated in listening to me as I declare and preach the word of God. We're just grateful to have had the opportunity to get to know our brothers and sisters in the Lord and see you demonstrate your faith. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 beginning, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Bible says there is one body. Even as you're called in one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. When we notice verse number 4, there is one body, one Spirit, even your call and one hope of your calling. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One faith is what we're going to be dealing with tonight. Salvation and the church. Jesus the Christ prayed for the apostles that they may be one. John chapter 17 and verse number 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, Jesus says. And I come to thee, Holy Father, as he prayed. This is the Lord's prayer. Keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. John 17 and verse number 20 and 21. Jesus says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words, that they all might be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. And then he tells us why. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, if we're going to convince the world that we are truly followers of Jesus Christ, we've got to adhere to the one faith. He wanted them to be united in their work, for all had to preach the same doctrine. The apostles were all under the same commission. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 to 20, when he gave the marching orders, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I be with you always, even to the end of the world, end of the age. And everywhere they went, they preached the same gospel. Christ's prayer for unity was not a generic kind of unity. We would just agree to disagree, and we will still be brothers and sisters in Christ. See, doctrine does matter to God tonight. Jesus desires unity among his people. Jesus prayed that the disciples or the apostles be one as we are one, as God and Christ are one in fellowship, one in purpose, one in love, and they are one concerning the interest in the salvation of lost souls. The Godhead is united as one. Jesus prayed earnestly and fervently that all believers be one. Not one person, but one in name, one in faith, one in doctrine, one in practice, and one in fellowship. Men often argue that it is impossible for all to be one. And hence, they accuse Jesus of praying an impossible prayer. But Jesus prayed a prayer that was not one that was impossible to fulfill. Prayer must be in faith. And if it is impossible for all to see alike and be one religiously, then Jesus could not have prayed in faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. But Jesus always pleased his Father. John chapter 8 and verse number 29. Therefore, unity is possible. One reason Jesus gives for wanting all believers to be united is that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And hence the religious division. Every person having a church of his choice instead of the Lord's choice is the main cause for infidelity or unfaithfulness to the Lord. See, if all professed believers would throw aside their likes and dislikes, human names and man-made creeds, and stand united on the Bible, the Word of God, then we could have influence and success in convincing the disbelievers and the unbelievers that there is only one faith tonight. And let us consider the word faith as defined. Conviction of a truth of anything, belief in the New Testament of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Generally, which include the idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith and conjoined with it according to Ferris Greek Lexicon New Testament. And then we understand also that the religious belief of Christians, objectively, the substance of Christians' faith or what is believed by Christians according to their. This would refer to a system of faith, or as W.E. Vines expressed it, what is believed, the contents of belief, the faith, according to Expository Dictionary of the New Testament words. What is the one faith? Now, some contend that it is the personal conviction that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that brings one into fellowship with God and Christ. But there is only one faith that saves and is the faith that leads one into complete trust in the Lord and obedience to his will. James chapter 2 and verse number 17, James says, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead being alone. Well, he's talking about personal faith. You've got to have an obedient personal faith in order to please God and be obedient to his will. James chapter 2 and verse number 24, James said, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. He says, but faith which worketh by love. Now what is required of man? Faith. It must be an obedient faith. The action expected. Works, not meritorious works, but works that God has prescribed in the scriptures. The motivation for it all is love. So the book teaches us that faith which worketh by love, no other degree of faith will save. What is the one faith? It is not faith in God, for men had this before Jesus came. It is not merely a mental assent that Jesus is the Son of God, for many who have this are not brought into the fellowship of God. You can believe that there is a God in heaven. You can believe that he had a son or has a son who is Jesus Christ the Lord. But just those elements by themselves or just faith by itself is not sufficient. Because in Acts chapter 26 and verses 27 to 28, King Agrippa, Paul says, believest thou the prophets? Paul says, I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. Paul said, I would not only almost, but altogether such as I am, except these bonds or these chains. Paul preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, but Agrippa did not obey the gospel. John chapter 1 and verse number 10 through 11, for he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But unto them that received him gave he them the right to become the sons of God. John chapter 12 and verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, many of the chief rulers also, many believed on him, that is on Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. A lot of people tonight are more concerned about the praises of men more so than what God says in his word. And therefore they have a problem. They have a problem going to lead to eternal damnation in the end. The one faith is the substance of Christian faith, or what is believed by Christians, hence this system of faith. And this means that one faith refers to the will of Christ, the New Testament. There are many times that the expression the faith could only have reference to a system of faith. And the scriptures teach conclusively that the Lord has given a system of one faith, that we must follow it if we want to make heaven our eternal resting place. As we examine the scriptures, we will find a definite article, the, before faith. And this little article or limiting adjective refers to a system of teaching or to the doctrine of Christ. And the phrase the faith is used a number of times in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 13. Paul says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, act like men. Be strong. Not strong physically, but strong spiritually. It is the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 6. It is the gospel of Christ. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. It is the doctrine of Christ. 2 John and verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5. Paul says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ, Jesus Christ is in you, or Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Paul did not say, examine yourselves whether ye have faith, but he says, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. There is only one faith that we need to strive to be in and to maintain, a connection to the one faith. It is the faith that was preached by the apostles. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 23. But they had only heard that he was persecuted us in times past. Now preaches the faith which he once destroyed. He's talking about the apostle Paul. Paul was guilty of persecuting those who were members of the one faith. But now he's preaching that one faith. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. The faith refers to the gospel message through which the mystery was revealed to the Lord's inspired men. To hold to the mystery of the faith means to understand and to be steadfast in the faith. This faith was revealed when Christ came, Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Unity of the faith refers to the gospel, the truth, the complete revelation of God's will to men. And when the faith was complete, then the knowledge of the Son of God was fully revealed, and the church would reach spiritual maturity as a perfect man. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27, only Paul said, let your conversation, your manner of life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, striving with one mind together, or with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. We've got to strive together with one mind for the faith, and there's only one, of the gospel. The religious system revealed in the gospel of Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 23. Paul said, if ye continue in the faith, rooted or grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Notice what he says. You got to continue in the faith. This notion of once saved and always saved is false doctrine. You cannot jump in and out of the church and expect the Lord to save you. You got to stay or continue in the one faith. Somebody said there are Christians in other churches. The Lord does not have New Testament Christians in other churches unless those members of the church that were baptized faithfully, scripturally, have left the faith and gone and joined themselves to a denomination church. And they're in a lost, condemned state until they repent and come out of that which is false and contrary to God's will. Not everyone who embraces the faith remains faithful to it. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. The book said, Paul said, now the Spirit speak expressly that in the latter times some shall do what? Depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having a country sealed with a hot iron, forbidden to marry and commanded to abstain from meat. Don't you realize that God had given to be received with thanksgiving to them that believe and know the truth? There is only one faith we need to abide or remain in. But some, the Spirit says, speak it plainly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. There are those who are leaving the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith, and worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Consider what the Bible teaches. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 21, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Paul says to Timothy. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There was only one faith to keep. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 13. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Jude 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. There was only one faith to earnestly contend for. And that system of faith teaches and preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. The faith was once delivered. The system of faith is complete. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. The faith was once delivered one time for all times. It admits no additions, allow no subtractions. Revelation chapter 22 and verses 18 to 19. Galatians chapter 1 and verses 6 to 9. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. According to the scriptures, Christ will never be offered again upon the tree of the cross, according to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24 to 26. Just as Christ will never be offered again, for he was once offered, even so faith was once delivered, and there would be no further revelation from God. After John penned the book of Revelation by the Holy Spirit guiding him, when he put his pen down, no more revelations from God. No more written revelations. When the last apostle died, and the last individual that the apostles laid hands on died, all miraculous gifts ceased. No more revelations from God. We have the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, to reveal to us about the one faith. One faith once delivered emphasized unity of doctrine. The faith can be known. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. This was not just knowledge in general, but the knowledge of the truth of God's word, John 17 and verse number 17. To acknowledge the truth is to recognize and accept the truth. The truth is after godliness, and the truth is able to produce that which God authorized, which is a godly lifestyle. Because there is only one faith that will produce that which we call, and the Bible speaks of, a Christian. Let us consider how would there be unity in one body if every member did not believe or teach the same doctrine. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Nevertheless, Paul says, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10, Paul said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Whatever gospel is being preached at the Lincoln Church of Christ, it's got to be the same gospel that's being preached at the Troy Road Church of Christ. Whatever gospel being preached throughout the brotherhood, it must spread itself all over the whole world. The division of the Corinthians led Paul to ask three questions in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 13. Is Christ divided? If Christ is not divided, how can his body be divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Do we not belong to the one who was crucified for us? And yes, we do. We belong to Christ. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? And it was a rhetorical question, and they already knew the answer. Should we not wear the name of the one whose name we were baptized into? We were baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, according to Acts 2 and verse number 38. And we should wear Christ's name, and therefore we are called Christians. God has always expected his people to come out of sin when they learn the truth, and always have a thing of saying, when we learn better, we need to do better. Repentance means that one leaves sin and embraces the Lord's will. It is not about what I will you to do, because I have no commandments, I have no revelation. It's about what God authorizes. The New Testament speaks of love and the grace of God. It also has commands, instructions, and examples for us to follow. Love for the Lord proves itself by keeping his commandments. Somebody say, oh, how I love Jesus. Do you really? The only way to demonstrate your love for the Lord is John chapter 14 and verse number 15. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If we love the Lord, we will keep the Lord's commandments. Not a few of them, but we strive to keep all of the commandments that he has authorized us to keep. True disciples remain in the word of Jesus. John chapter 8 and verse number 31 and 32. The Bible says that God hates those who sow discord among brethren. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 14. And some brethren don't mind sowing discord. But God hates it. And we should too. We should desire all speak the same thing and all be a part of the one faith. We are commanded to prove all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 21. Let us not appeal to the law of Moses, for it offers no salvation or unity for us this afternoon. Nor can we appeal to the doctrine and commandments of men. It offers no salvation or unity for us as well. There is one faith, one system of faith, the New Testament. And this emphasizes unity in doctrine, unity in teaching. We must be united in what we teach and stand on God's word. One thing I love about Brother Kevin Smith is that he believes in standing on what thus says the word of God and teaching nothing but what thus says the Lord. Now, we all have our different methodologies of teaching. But long as we teach what thus says the word of God, that's the important factor, that we do not deviate to the right hand nor to the left. We do not compromise for the sake of pleasing man, for our objective is to please God. See, all of God's people should teach the same thing. Some believe that the one faith is outdated. We are told that faith, truth, and the message of Christianity change or evolves as time goes on, and these three elements are not absolute or permanent. They are subject to change and development through history, some say. But we contend that God's word is relevant to us today. For the Bible is our never-changing standard for today's modern age. See, no matter how smart we think we are, God's always going to be smarter than man. Just because society has changed its standards does not mean that our Creator has changed. What used to be a sin back in the 60s, the 50s, the 40s, now it's everything goes. In 2025, nobody calls sin what it really is, and just sin in the eyesight of God. But we are admonished to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. The one faith, the gospel of Christ, refutes the whole family of unbelief. The one faith declared that God is, that Christ is the only begotten Son of God, and that the Bible is, and his inspired will for humanity is that the church is divinely derived, and that men, all men, are headed to one of two eternal destinies, either heaven or hell. There is no purgatory. There is no place between heaven and hell. And somebody pay some money and send up some prayers and all that type of foolishness, and then you'll be able to part on up to where the throne of God is. Nowhere can that be found in the Bible. Nowhere does the scripture reveal such nonsense. That is man-made teachings that's made up to convince people that it's all right to sin. And then somebody's going to pray and spend some money to let your departed soul be blessed to go to heaven. But nowhere does the Lord authorize such nonsense. What it does authorize is that if you want to die right, you got to live right. You got to live according to God's standards. You got to hear the gospel, Romans 10 and 17. So then faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You've got to believe what you've heard from the scriptures. Not my opinion, not how I believe this and I believe that, because what I believe and what God commands can be two different scenarios. What is prevalent and what is necessary is that we accept what is written in the book. We've got to be willing to repent of our sins. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, repenting is not like I slept with a woman, but I still got a wife, and I can go back and forth sleeping with a woman and sleeping with my wife. Wait a minute. Hold up, somebody. Somebody need to say something. But we live in a day and age now where people got hookups on Facebook. You cannot live a double lifestyle and go to heaven and please God. there must be true repentance. You cannot go to the place where they serve liquor and get boozed up on Saturday and sing hallelujah on Sunday. You can't live a double lifestyle and please the Lord. One has got to change their lifestyle and truly repent. You can't go home, beat the dog, kick the cat, and tell your wife to scat and think you're going to heaven like that. You're going to have to straighten up and live right and treat your family right in order to be right with God. God says repent, and he means just that. There's got to be a change of conduct, a change of attitude, a change of behavior. Then one must confess Christ to be the Son of the living God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Then you got to put the Lord on baptism, Acts 2 and verse number 38, to be added to the church of Christ. And there's only one church to be added to, because the one faith teaches one kingdom, one body, one church. And that's all you can get out of the one faith. It's going to make one a New Testament Christian. And that's all that God asks of us, to live the Christian life and abide therein. But there are those who are teaching that there's more than one faith. There's only one. There used to be a program to come on in Memphis years ago, What's Your Faith? And I used to think before I obeyed the gospel that, well, I don't know what my faith is. I didn't know there was so many multiple faiths. When I remember hearing the Search the Scriptures Bible answer program come on, and many gospel preachers would give answers to Bible questions. And they would give answers that make you go back to the Scriptures and search the Scriptures and check behind what they were teaching and what they were advocating. And I learned that it's not what's your faith, there's only one faith that we ought to earnestly contend for. May God bless you, keep you, strengthen you, and may you be willing to always abide and obey that which he has authorized and commanded us to abide in. We turn it back in the hands of the brothers.